principles for leadership development. That's our theme for the next four sessions. I began this segment last session. This is part two of the 10 principles for becoming a true leader. Say that with me. The 10 principles for becoming a true leader. How does a person transition from being a follower to a leader? In other words, I want you to understand the process of developing, discovering, and becoming your true leadership ability. How do you discover and develop that? All of you know by this time my philosophy. My philosophy of leadership is one that is so real to me because I am a product of it myself. And that is, I believe that every human being was born to be a leader, but not over people. They were born to be a leader in an area of gifting, and that gift attracts people. So I think it's important for you to distinguish the difference. The traditional leadership model is that some people were born to lead because they have certain unique gifts and traits, and then the rest of us are relegated to being followers for the rest of our lives because we just don't have the stuff, whatever you call that. Some call it charisma, some call it talent, some call it, you know, extrovert personality, all these different things they come up with. But based on history, history defies the theories that they teach in schools on leadership. Leaders are normally the most unsuspecting people. Many of them are products of pressure, circumstances, situations that force them to respond in a certain way that display some unique traits that we didn't know they had. All of you have that potential. You've not just been placed yet in the position where you had to deliver. And so, what is the 10 principles of becoming a leader? I want to first talk a little bit about why we need leaders. Number one, write this down. We need leaders because nothing happens without leaders. If anything is going to take place on planet Earth, someone has to take charge of it. Secondly, nothing begins without leadership. No matter how long it takes, nothing will start until somebody decides to emerge and take responsibility. Thirdly, nothing improves without leadership. If you want to improve a country, improve a company, improve a department, you want to improve even your family or your church, it's going to require leadership initiative. Fourthly, nothing develops without leadership. You want to develop an area of your community. You want to develop your personal life. Both of them require leadership. And fifthly, nothing changes without leadership. No matter how you complain about what's wrong in your community, in your city, in your nation, or in your church, or your organization, or even in your family, your complaining doesn't change things. Someone has to decide to step out and act. That is what we call leadership. And number six, nothing progresses without leadership. If a country is going to progress, if an organization is going to progress, if a family is going to progress, if a church is going to progress, someone has to step out. And number seven, very important, why do we need leaders? Because nothing succeeds without them. Success is always a result of somebody being willing to take not just responsibility and the credit, but also the blame. You got to be willing to fail greatly if you're going to succeed greatly. Success is a result of leadership in action. Now, here's something to remember about leadership, and this is very important. Good leaders employ other people. But great leaders do the opposite. They deploy people. I want you to write that down because it's very important to understand the difference. A good leader can employ people to work. But a great leader deploy people to work out their own gifts. In other words, a true leader releases people to become themselves. A great leader will engage those people in an activity, but a great leader will actually make the people create the activity. This is why great leaders eventually lose their position. They give it up because they produce people who can do it. Another thought about leadership. Leadership is not measured by how many people serve you. It is measured by how many people you serve. The world system, I'd use the word world, I'm talking about the system that is controlling the earth in many areas, have the philosophy of, I am a great person if a lot of people obey me. Now, that's not necessarily great leadership. Great leadership is reversed. And you know, Jesus Christ came into a world ruled by the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire adopted the Greek philosophy of leadership as their system. And that philosophy is built on basically adulation of humanity. In other words, it's based on humanism. Humanism is the worship of the human, almost to the point where the man becomes a divine being that we are overwhelmed by. And this is why the Roman Caesars were considered sons of the gods. And the people worshiped them almost as if they were infallible. That spirit is still among us. There are many people in your city, in your country. There are people in your church. Maybe even your bishop or your pastor feels that way. That because I am in this position, I'm supposed to be taken care of by you. That idea is satanic. Jesus came into that environment, the Roman thinking, the Greek philosophy, and he said the reverse. He said, let me quote Jesus, it's Matthew 22. He said, you know that the rulers of this world love to lord it over people. That's Matthew 22. Okay, what's he mean by that? Lord means what? To own people. He said they act as if you are their property. And then he says, they love to have you as their benefactor. That means they benefit from you. They use you to create their own superiority. His next statement, it shall not be so among you. He's talking about who? His kingdom people. He says, that's not the way we rule. And then he made this great statement. If you want to be great, you must become the servant of the people. See? Reversed. In other words, you are measuring your greatness not by how many people serve you, but by how many people you could serve. The more people you serve, the greater you are in God's kingdom leadership context. So greatness is service. Here's one of the things I concluded years ago. True leaders learn from others but never become them. It's important for you as a leader, an aspiring leader, and a growing leader to keep learning. I am constantly reading books. I am constantly listening to teachings myself. And even though I have millions of people who listen to me and read my books all over the world, I am still reading books. I still attend seminars. I still buy CDs. Why? Because a leader never graduates from the school of learning. You must learn from people, but never become them. Do not lose your uniqueness and your originality. Secondly, a true leader is one who leads others to leadership. They are constantly wanting to improve other people's lives. Thirdly, and this is the difference between a manager and a leader, managers think of the next position, but leaders think of the next generation. A leader has a long-term view. A manager has a short-term view. A manager thinks about the bottom line. A leader thinks of the horizon. They see the future. The manager sees the present. Managers focus on doing things right. Leaders focus on doing the right thing. Different ways of thinking. Managers don't want to rock the boat. Leaders turn the boat over and build a new one. In other words, a leader is always thinking about the big picture. If you're going to become a leader, you got to be able to manage and dream at the same time. That leads to point number four, and this is very important. Leadership is about service. Leadership is not about power. It's about empowering other people. Leadership is not about manipulation. It's about inspiration. These are my years of research on what makes a person a leader. These are important principles. Next, leadership is not about pursuing people. Leadership is not about trying to find followers. Leadership is about pursuing purpose. We talked about this in our last session. When you discover your purpose for your life and you pursue with all your might, at the point of sacrifice, you inspire people and then they trust you and they follow you. People actually come after you as you run toward your purpose. It is your passion for your purpose that attracts people. Can you write that down? It is your passion for who? For your purpose that attracts who? People. So great leaders do not look for followers. They are dedicated to pursuing an assignment, a conviction, a dream, a passion. And number five, leadership is about becoming more than doing. What do I mean by that? You can go to a college and study leadership for 5 years and still come out as a follower. Because the course will teach you techniques, mechanics. They will teach you ways to manipulate people, to delve into people's emotional state. They will teach you ways of crowd control and mass control and all this technical stuff. You know, guys like Machiavelli and others who have studied this stuff, they get all this stuff. You can go to school and study that stuff. And I studied some of that. And do you know that most of the people who take those courses never become leaders? Because leadership has more to do with self-discovery than it has to do with memorizing techniques. That's why you can have a degree in leadership and still be broke and no one following you. Because leadership cannot be taught. It has to be discovered. And you got to make the discovery yourself. My job in this seminar on Wednesdays is to create an environment for you to really discover yourself. I am supposed to make this place so full of possible energies by the knowledge and the revelation that you hear that it ignites something on the inside that never goes out. That's my job. I am here to light the wick that's already inside you, not to give you one. And that's what a leader is born from. A leader is born from the inside. That's why no true leader tried to be a leader. Something happened to them. They have an awareness that they have something to do, but they are always, reluctant. You know, great leaders are reluctant people. If you ask Mr. Mandela, did you plan to be Mr. Mandela? He'd tell you no. All I want to do is to be a lawyer and practice law. But he discovered a passion against an injustice that became a purpose that he pursued. He never looked for followers. He went to jail by himself. But millions follow him. Millions are inspired by him. Why? He never wanted to be a leader. He was reluctant. Do you think I plan what I'm doing right now? I had no idea this was going to happen to me. I just had a passion against the oppression of third world people. That passion woke me up as a young teenager. And it never died. It's still there. If you want to be great, don't try to be great. Find your gift and serve it. That's what leaders do. Now, let's talk a little bit about the art of leadership. Every human being has the instinct to be a leader. And this is true. Most people will die as followers. I hope you are not one of them. But most people on earth will die and never discover their true capability. But they have the instinct for it. They have the capacity to lead. And some even have the desire to do something great. The problem is they don't have the courage to cultivate it. Do you know why? Because our culture does not encourage you to be yourself. Our culture is designed for you to behave. And behave is defined by them. You know, your culture tells you how far you can go, what you can do, what you cannot do, and what you can achieve, what you cannot achieve. And they say what your particular culture ain't supposed to think about. And they convince you about your own limitations. Let me give you an example. We are the only creatures I know in the world who would build a car that makes 180 miles per hour and then put up a sign that says 60 miles per hour. I mean, that is a strange culture, isn't it? Why not build a car that makes 65 if you don't want to make more than 65? Because what they do is they give you capacity, but they give you limitation. They give you something you ain't supposed to never use. Think for a minute. That's the culture that rules your life. I had to be freed from that culture as an individual. I had to break away from even the exams they gave me in school. I don't accept any grade they give me anymore in school. All the grades I canceled in my mind. The C's, the D's, the B's I got, the A's. I told my teacher one time, I says, your A can't calculate my intelligence. And I was right, because now my books are being read by that teacher. So the culture we live in doesn't allow you to cultivate your true ability, and therefore you don't have the courage to step out against that culture. We are so busy trying to fit in, we never stand out. That's why all true leaders have to break away from the pack. Your greatness requires extraction from the group. Leaders do not seek acceptance. They pursue conviction. And sometimes the conviction is not accepted. And that's why they become leaders. Because leaders don't follow trails. They create them. If you do what everybody is doing, you are a follower automatically. I'll leave you to point number two. Write this down. Leadership is a trusted privilege. It's not a right. You can't demand that people follow you. People have a right not to follow you. You have a right to pursue your vision, to pursue your passion, to pursue your dream. You have no right to demand people to believe it or follow you. So people actually give you a trust when they follow you. They are giving you a privilege. So when people follow you, you should be very tender with their trust. Don't abuse it. Don't misuse it. Don't oppress it. It's a gift when people trust you. At least the point number three. True leadership is not a technique. It's an attitude. If you ask great leaders what made them leaders, they can't tell you. It's hard to define. Leadership is like beauty. You know it when you see it, but you can't define what it is. What makes a sunset beautiful? You cannot tell me. I guarantee it. You cannot really define beauty. All you know is that's beautiful. That's the way leadership is. Boy, now that's a leader. Now she's a leader. Why? I don't know, but there's something about her, we say. Something about her means I can't define what it is. I just know that this person is distinct from the others. Leadership is that way. It is that thing. I call it attitude. And we're going to talk about them tonight. Those 10 principles that a leader exerts and exhibits that makes them unique. Now this last statement here before I get into the 10 is important. Write it down. There must be a marriage between the leadership spirit and the spirit of leadership. They sound similar, but they're different. There must be a marriage between the leadership spirit and the spirit of leadership. The first one, you were born with the leadership spirit. You actually have it already. You were created with the ability to lead. You are a spirit being with a leadership mandate. You are a leader already as a spirit. The problem is you don't have the spirit of leadership, which is the attitude that goes with the ability. Let me put it this way. You have ability and mentality. Write it down. The first one is what? Ability. The spirit of leadership is the ability to lead. The leadership spirit is the mentality to lead. I would dare say that maybe only 10% of the world population of 7 billion people will capture the spirit of leadership, the mentality. And my job for the rest of my life is to try and increase that 10% to maybe 15% before I die. And I'd like for you to be in that 15%. I would like for you to be the person who didn't just have the ability, but captured the mentality. Because it doesn't say as a man's ability is, so is he. You can be powerful and strong and don't know your strength. Mentality is when you connect to your ability and you get a revelation that your ability can become your responsibility. Leaders are people who take responsibility to change things. The word responsibility is actually two words put together. To be responsible means you have the ability to respond to a situation. Complaining people are irresponsible. Write that down. If you are always complaining, what's wrong in society? What's wrong in the government? What's wrong in the church? What's wrong in your business? What's wrong in the family? What's wrong in the community? Complaining, complaining, you are a problem. A person who recognizes, I see something wrong, I am going to personally take the ability to respond to that problem and change it. Leadership is born. So leaders are really responsibility people. They don't complain, they change things. And this is why leaders have to marry their leadership spirit and the spirit of leadership together. That happened to me. The book that I wrote, The Spirit of Leadership, is about that one statement. And in that book, I give you 10 specific attitudes that you need to cultivate to cross over from being a follower for the rest of your life into the realm of becoming the leader you were born to be. You have to make a transition. And that transition is hard because you got to fight against your entire culture, which includes your family, your educational system, your friends, your job environment, and those who claim to love you. Very few people want you to be you. Very few. Because the BU might mean you will lose them. Can I put it that way? They don't want to lose your company. And so many times, the people who are holding you back are the ones you claim love you the most. They love you so much, they don't want you to ever leave being what they want you to be. And please mark my words carefully. They don't want you to leave being what they want you to be. So the minute you begin to become yourself, they consider you an enemy. You're not behaving as expected. That's why great leaders usually lose friends before they gain followers. Attitude. So here's my conclusion. Leadership comes down to two basic fundamental things. One, who we are and how we think. Who we are is the leadership spirit. How we think is the spirit of leadership. Who we are is the ability. How we think is the mentality. And to cross over is challenging again, because you're fighting against 50 years of mental contamination. They told you where you cannot live, what you cannot own, what you cannot build, where you cannot develop a company, where you can't expand the church, what you can't afford, what you could afford. And when they finish convincing you, you've settled for less. I have come to disagree with all of them. I've come to encourage you to throw off their shackles, disbelieve their assessment, cancel their examination scores, and tell them your ability is immeasurable. Tell your neighbor, you don't know who I am. You have no idea what I can do. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you believe that, clap real loud. This is the truth. Nobody knows what you can do. Yeah. Write this down, please. To exercise leadership, you have to believe you are inherently a leader. Very simple statement. Becoming a leader is one thing. But to exercise it requires that you believe you are inherently a leader. That is really my assignment for the rest of my life, is to convince you that inside of you is a trapped leader. To connect you with yourself. You know, my people think that my major goal is to introduce you to God. Well, yes, I guess that's true. But I really want to introduce you to God so he can introduce you to yourself. Because God ain't got no problems. You're the one with the problems. You're the one who don't know who you really are. And the reason why you need to meet God is because he is the manufacturer. You are the product. And no one knows a product like the manufacturer. I fell in love with myself when I discovered God, and he told me I was like him. That may sound simple to you. That blew my mind. I was 13 years old when I got that. Everything changed. I said, wait a minute. This is God, and he made me out of his material. That means I have the same value as my father. The word father means source. He sourced me. That means my value, my worth. Everybody say worth. Everybody say self-worth. See, you got to get it from somewhere else. Don't get it from people. My self-worth. My esteem. Everybody say esteem. The word esteem from the word estimate. The estimation of my ability, my value, comes from God. I wouldn't give you the privilege to tell me how much I am worth. How dare I do such a thing? See, no one can make you inferior without your permission. want you to remember that. I don't believe none of your assessments of me, so don't waste your time. I wouldn't give you the right to judge my ability. You can't even judge your own. You need to be freed from people's assessment. I was talking to one of our members who's a very influential person in our country. He said, I'm going to the graduation of my son. And he went today. He left to his graduation. And he said, my son graduated with honors from one of the top private schools in the United States. He said, Pastor, a few years ago, my son started to go in the wrong direction. And I went and I sat him down and I had a straight talk with him. And I said, this is not you. He said, the teachers submitted him for tests and they assumed and assessed him as having a, what you call that thing? What you call that? ADHD. See, I can't even call it because I don't want to know it. ADHD, okay. So, and they said he needs some pills. This is a true story. To balance him, his hormones, so he could settle down. He said, I put my foot down, told them he is taking no pills. My son just needs some talking to. 2 years later, top school honoree. They almost identify him as being sick, when in fact he was irritated because he was ahead of the teachers mentally. Don't be surprised. Bill Gates was also considered, what you call it? ADHD. And they sent him to a psychologist for treatment. He had the same problem. He was ahead of the teachers mentally. You're kidding, crazy. They're just too smart for the dummies who are trying to teach them. Oh, I was that way too. There was a school not too far from here where the teacher called me a retarded monkey. And I decided I'm going to prove that teacher wrong. I graduated with 9 BJCs, all distinctions. Got a scholarship to Queen's College and went on to London and became a top student out of university, graduated. I got 5 degrees. That's a monkey. Listen. You are inherently a leader. Inherent means you're born with it. Say it, a born with it man. In other words, anybody gonna give you leadership, you gotta discover it. Yeah. And that's what I would like for you to do in these sessions. I want you to write this down, please. Leadership is not about cloning others in your image. You know, some of us don't feel happy until people think like us and do work like us and walk like us and act like us. No, your goal is not to clone people, it's to release people. Leaders help others discover themselves. The leader helps the person to deploy their own abilities, not to imitate me. You know you can't imitate me. I'm too sophisticated. I'm complicated. And what's even better is you're greater than I am. Why reduce yourself to me? Be yourself. Discover yourself. And believe me, as a Bahamian, I had this fight. I had to fight my way out of Bahamian mentality. I had to fight it. And sometimes it wants to come back. 40 years, I'm still trying to keep that thing away from me because it is so dangerous. And that's why I keep company very carefully with people, because they can become contagious to your future. I don't listen to all people tell me, you know. People write me letters. I don't even read some of them. Sometimes they wrote letters. And I say, you know, if I read this, I can become negative. Let me don't read this. Some I read, but most of them I don't. Because people don't understand you and they try to assess you. Some phone calls I don't answer. I see that, oh, that name, no, I don't want to talk to that person right now. My spirit is in a certain position. I don't want no negative. I'm serious. I have to control your own spirit. That's what leaders do. Because the leaders got to deliver all the time, you see. So they got to control their spirit. They got to guard their heart, the Bible calls it. Guard your heart. God don't guard your heart. You guard that yourself. And the word heart means mind. I got to guard my mind. I got to make sure that I don't walk into a place because you contaminated me with your ideas about me. I don't mind criticism. I don't mind correction. But I don't want a critical spirit attacking me. Leadership got to be very jealous of their environment. Now, let's take this then from the philosophical side. Just my philosophy, I want to recap for you very quickly. First of all, this is what I believe. Number one, trapping every follower is a leader. Number two, every human was created to lead and to dominate. Number three, leadership potential resides in every human. Number four, you were born to lead, but you must become one through a process. Number five, true leadership is self-manifestation. And number six, the purpose for true leadership is to produce leaders. Now, these are my belief systems. I got these from the Bible. That's my main book. As a result of my studies, this is my conclusion. These are philosophical statements. These are my philosophy. Philosophy means the ideas I believe as being true. I build my life on these. I build my entire ministry on these. So these are my belief systems. It took me a long time to come to that conclusion. I was not taught these in school. Schools taught me the opposite. So my belief system informs my behavior. It informs the way I treat you. Look at number one. What does it say? Out loud. Say it loud. Okay. So if I believe that, then if anyone's around me, following me, what do I believe about them? There's a leader inside. So now that dictates how I treat them. See? Your philosophy is dangerous because it informs how you treat people. Attitude comes from belief. Belief comes from convictions. Convictions come from what you consider to be truth. That's why Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And then he says, "I am the truth. I'm the source of truth." In other words, your truth got to come from somewhere. And whoever is your source of truth is the source of your philosophy, which determines how you treat people. And there are people in your department who treat you like dirt. Why? Their philosophy is contaminated by probably Greek thinking, which informs that not everybody is born to be a leader or great like you. So you treat a slave like a slave. You treat, you know, they even invented the word subordinate. Subordinate is two words put together. Subordinary. Sub means below. To be a subordinate means you are below the ordinary. And now what they call you at work, right? This is my subordinate. That's a dangerous word. That was invented by the slave masters. And they use it in your department. I am not a subordinate. And no one around me is a subordinate. You are never below the ordinary. All of us are equal, but simply different. We're different, but we're equal. Is this clear? All right. Here's the 10 essentials to leadership. And I'm going to break some of these down as we go forward in the next two sessions. But the first one, the first thing you must discover to become a leader is your purpose. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. The second thing you must discover is you must capture a vision for your life. Now, these are not the same. Purpose is the source of vision. Vision is purpose in pictures. Vision is when you see your purpose in technicolor. Vision is photographs of your purpose. Your purpose is your reason for being born. Your vision is when you see it. And this comes, you know, this grows. We can learn that later on. But your vision grows as your purpose is revealed piece by piece. And your purpose is not known instantly. You sometimes you see a portion of it first. And then when you step out and start doing it, then God show you a little bit more. And as you walk, you see a little bit more. In other words, you never see your complete purpose immediately. Joseph was 17 years old when he saw his purpose. He saw a glimpse of it. He saw himself sitting on a throne, ruling his family, feeding them. That's all he saw. He didn't see the process to get there. Thank God. If God had to show you how you can get what you saw, you tell God, keep it. I don't want that thing no more. You know, when I dreamt of what I'm doing now, I dreamt of this. I saw myself speaking to thousands of people as a kid. I saw myself traveling around the world. I didn't know how. I didn't know that they were going to call me a thief through the process. Bring the finances to Miles, BFM. I didn't know they were going to call the visionaries demonic music and cult. If God had told me that, I'd have said, look, let me just remain a school teacher. Your purpose in pictures is your vision. When the leader has his vision clear, then the third thing steps in. You must share your inspiration. We're going to talk about that. In other words, talk about your vision. Talk about what you see. Talk about what you want to do. A lot of people don't. Leaders are always telling you what they feel about something or what they think about something. They're telling you the way things should be. They talk about it. People ask me many times, said, Pastor Miles, I have number one and two down. I got my vision on paper. I know my purpose. Now, you know, I just waiting for the Lord to show me what to do. And I said, he ain't going to show you what to do. You got to start talking. Start distributing it. Share it with people. They say, why? I said, because the people who are supposed to help fulfill it don't even know it exists yet. Vision was never given to be fulfilled by you. You're supposed to sell it. And that's what you're doing. You distribute it. This is what I want to do. Show it to everyone you can. Now, of course, there's a mentality that they train you in, this negative mentality. But, you know, if I share my vision, somebody may teef it. Listen to me. Nobody could do what you was born to do the way you was born to do it. Period. And there are people who have the resources to finance your vision. But they don't even know it because you're so scared to tell them. Not everyone you share it with will help you or even agree with you. Some may even say, you know, I that's a good idea and I support you. You know, I pray for you. They ain't got no money. But at least they're with you. And some will say, you crazy. This will never happen. Folks like us don't do these things. That don't happen in this country. And they start attacking it. That's okay. Go to the next door. Then share it again. Christ, when you go out and they don't accept you, he said, just dust the dust off and go to the next house. He said, don't quit going. No means that they're going to come later. A lot of folks who spoke against me are sitting here tonight. They came later. Don't look right now. Just keep looking straight. You know who you are. What you used to say about me 25 years ago. Sure. No problem. I couldn't listen to you. I had to keep going. Go to the next house. Number four, very important. Commit to principles and values. Now, this is very important. If you're going to become a leader, there has to be some things you promise yourself you will not do. You must personally commit to certain standards you will never break. That's what leaders have to do. You have to commit to a code of ethics, a set of values that you will never violate. And number five, express your passion. Leaders will always tell you about the things that they are passionate about. Matter of fact, you get tired of them talking after a while. And every time I meet them, they can repeat the same thing. Proof of passion is repetition. Can I say it again? Proof of passion is what? Repetition. If you say something to me with passion on Monday, and then I never hear you say it again for the next 4 years, you was joking. A passion is like a pregnancy. You tell me you're pregnant, but the baby don't go away. You tell me you're pregnant again, and the baby still don't go away. Even though you talk about it, it stays, and it keeps growing, growing, and growing, until we can't help but see it. That's what passion is like. It's like conceiving a divine assignment from God, and you start telling people about it, even though they can't see it yet. You tell them about this thing that you know you were born to do. You have to fix this thing on the earth. You got to solve this problem. You want to do this. That's like a pregnancy. And even though people can't see it, it keeps growing and growing. What's growing on the inside of you is my question. I know you got a job, and you go to your work, and you catch that bus or whatever. You park in that spot, and you go upstairs in the elevator or whatever it is. You go to that classroom. I know all of that. But what are you pregnant with? You know, pregnant people go to work. And the baby goes with them. And sometimes the folks who are around you don't know you're pregnant. They think you like them. They are barren. And that's why you need to keep coming to a place like this every Wednesday and meet me. My name is Elizabeth. When you see me, I make your baby leap. You remember Mary? Yeah, when she got that news she was pregnant, she went straight to Elizabeth. And the Bible says when they saw each other, the babies leaped in their womb. Be around folks who make your baby leap. Why? Because Elizabeth also was carrying a miracle baby. Tell your neighbor right now, I hope you're pregnant, or go sit somewhere else. Yeah. Number six, write it down. Leaders empower others. I want you to get these principles. The goal of your leadership is to make other people great. Empower other people. Let the weak believe they are strong. Let the poor see that they can become rich. Let the lost have a map. That's what leaders do. They give people hope. They make them believe in themselves. Leaders. And then number seven, leaders, this is very important, discipline themselves to protect their purpose. This is critical. All true leaders have a very narrow life. They don't go out too often to weird places. They're very strict on themselves. If you're going to become a great man or woman, you're going to have to become very narrow. Narrow is the road that leads to life. You got to have such a narrow life that only you could fit in it. Certain things you can't do because you ain't got no space for them. Self-discipline is the mark of a true leader. You don't find them out in the night, 2 o'clock in a club. They got more important things to do in life. Are you a true leader? Then you discipline yourself against things that can short circuit your purpose. The greatest enemy of your dream is your lack of discipline. There are many people who are wrecks on the road of life because they were going to a great destination, but they were dragged off through an alley by a lust or a craving. Great leaders protect themselves because they got to protect their purpose. They always judge what they do according to their purpose. Great leaders are tempted more than you are because they are more visible. So they got to be more strict than you. More opportunities to fail come to a leader because they are in the public arena. Therefore, they got to be more strict on themselves. They must not wear their code of ethics in their minds. They must wear them on their sleeves so everybody could see them. These things I do not do. When I tell people I do not commit adultery, everywhere I go, I talk about my wife if she's not there. And if she's there, I bring her up and I talk about her. Why? I'm sending a message. Don't fool with me. You cannot wear your values in secret if you are a leader. If someone comes to you and asks you to compromise on your job, you are the problem. If someone asks you to break a law for you to benefit, you are the problem. Because if they would have thought that they could come to you, it's a sign that your character is already in trouble. They're supposed to say, don't even go to her. I know what she ain't going to do that. They're supposed to say that. But if they came to you already, that means you are living a life that is not loud enough. Leaders declare their values openly. They display their convictions in public. They preach their code of ethics from the mountaintops. Got to protect your purpose. That's number 8. Leaders coordinate resources. I'll explain all of these in detail in the next sessions. But leaders have a way of handling resources. Now, resources, not just money. I know you think about money. But everything is resources. Your time is a resource. How do you coordinate your time in life? How much time do you waste with people who ain't going nowhere? How much time do you waste reading books that don't inspire you? How many times do you waste reading magazines of just fashion? How much time do you waste watching movies on LMN after one after the other until 2 a.m. in the morning? How much time do you waste with situations that don't advance your dream? That's a waste of resources. And that's just time. Everything is a resource. Your friendships are a resource. Your relationships, are they an asset or a deficit? This is the question you must answer. Do an inventory of your friends and see how many of them will get you to where you want to go in life. You'll be amazed how small the percentage is. Choose your friends according to your destiny. Save your energy. People are like leeches. They suck life out of you. And if you're not careful, they will drain you dry and drop you dead. It's a resource. I always tell people, if you are in a group and you are the smartest in the group, it's time to leave the group. Can I say that again? If you are in a group and you are the smartest in the group, it's time for you to leave the group. You don't want to be in a group that can grow you, expand you, and improve you. That's why I study more than you, you know, because I don't want you to leave my group. I always want you to have more to come for. That means the pressure's on me. And then I had to be with people around me who know more than me also. That's why I buy books and CDs and DVDs and keep friends with people who can stretch my mind. Because I have to keep growing. I need folks around me who believe that I can do things and build things and expand things. Sometimes you can outgrow the very board you appointed. Remember that. You can outgrow the people you appointed. And that's why I got to expand the board, to get fresh brains. I won't say something, but it's too deep. I can't say that. You all can't handle that part. No, that's too deep. No, I guess I can't say that. Too deep. That's leadership 404. That's advanced. I can't tell you that. Okay, that's advanced stuff. That's too deep. All right, number 9. Leaders must manage priorities. Leaders manage priorities. Now, what does this mean? Leaders are very clear on what's important. Not what's urgent. Because many times the things that are urgent are not important. Leaders know what's important, and then they prioritize. They decide which are the important things in my life. What are they? And they manage them to keep them in order of importance. For example, to me, God, my wife, my children, my vision. Then you. And that cleared my mind. I tell you a long time ago, if my wife won't see me and you are dying, there can be a funeral. Why? I don't sleep with you. It cleared my head. The Bible told me what? To love my wife like Christ loved his wife. He didn't tell me to love his wife. Let me say it again. You all missed that. He said, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved his wife. He didn't say love his wife. Wow. My head clear. And there are many pastors in the city who lost their wives because they fell in love with his wife too much and committed adultery with his wife and didn't go home to their own wives. And they lost their children as well. I will never love you more than I love my wife. Get over it. My priorities are clear. I'm obeying God when I love my wife more than you. Husband, love your wife, he says, like Christ loved his wife. Only Christ can love you. You're something else. I'm telling you, his wife is an amazing woman. Her name is Ecclesia, beautiful woman. Oh, but she'll kill you if you try to love her. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And that goes for all of you pastors who are ordained. Don't you ever make this church more important than your spouse. You obey God and you always be right. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, amen again.
Amen.
Yeah, okay, just get quiet on me. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And number 10, leaders mentor their successors. This is the ultimate measure of a leader. Is who do you leave behind that's greater than you? Leaders focus on the future, and therefore they prepare people to protect what they built. That's what a mentor is all about. A mentor is to preserve what you built. A mentor is to take what you started to the next level. A true mentor will protect what you put your life into. This is very rare, but this is what true leaders do. They prepare their replacement. All right, I want to close with just number 1, because I want to teach these separately. But number 1, what does it mean when it says that you must discover your purpose? I call it leadership by design. Okay? First of all, you must discover your sense of significance. That's what purpose is. Purpose is discovering the reason why you was conceived. Leaders are people who have discovered this strange sense of importance to humanity. Now, this is tough for folks in the Caribbean. Believe me, this is very difficult. Because you've been conditioned not to think of yourself as important. That's part of our culture. you know, being brought up here in the Bahamas, strange things took place in Bairntown. For example, we were taught, if you are writing a composition, they call it composition, it means essay, right? In schools, if you write an essay, do not use the word I. You all remember that? Yeah. See, some of y'all don't talk about. Now, my question was, why not? Now, let me tell you why. Because Jesus Christ would have failed that exam. He used I more than any other word. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the door. I am the resurrection. I am the good shepherd. I am the pen. I am the, he said, I am the gate. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am. This guy is into himself. He would have been rebuked in my culture. But he knew his significance. When I came to that realization for myself, I had to apologize to myself. I spent years, the first 2 or 3 years, rejecting myself. I kept saying, I cannot be that important. I was afraid to be who I am. Significance. You are important to the world. If you were not, he wouldn't allow you to be conceived. You were created to solve a problem. You were born to answer a question. You were given birth to be the conclusion to a matter in your generation. You were born to solve a problem in the world. Now, to believe that is tough. Because all they told you is, get a job, pay bills, die. First thing a leader must discover is a sense of significance. Number two, leaders believe in their inherent ability to achieve their desires. This is important. I write this down. Leaders are their own raw material. What do I mean by that? You have to get to the discovery where you believe that what you were born to do, you have what it takes to do it. It's already in you. You got to believe that. This is why I teach in my books on potential. Read all of them, please. Read them, please. Read them. I beg you. Because those books, I explain this beautiful principle. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. Simple principle. If God wants fish to swim, he puts swim in fish. He wants birds to fly, he puts flight in bird. In other words, whatever God demands from you, he already put in you. So if God gives you a dream, he's telling you what you could do already. So you don't need someone else's assessment of your ability to do it. People will never tell you the truth about you. They don't even know the truth about themselves. Let me keep asking people, what do you think? What do you think? Forget what they think. What does God think? Let me quote the word of God. Let God be true. And every man a liar. You think I trust you to assess me? I mean it. And I want you to get that same spirit. Nobody knows you. I don't care where you was born, what kind of family you came from. You is you. That come out right? You are you. That's the proper English. But you is right too. Yeah, you have on the inside of you the ability to achieve what God told you to do. That's why it's important to hear what God tells you to do. Because whatever he told you is equal to your ability. See, you missed what I just said. Whatever God told you is equal to your ability. That's why it's important to hear what he tells you. See, she just got it. See, you know, it hits you when you get it. See, and that's what sets me free from being down. When I discovered it, the Bible taught me this. No one taught me this. I was reading the Bible myself. I was 16 years old and I saw it. I say, wow, God created everything with the ability in it to do what he wanted to do. So I didn't need you to tell me my ability. This is point number three. Leadership is knowing, first of all, that you were created to lead, designed to lead, equipped to lead, destined to lead, and your fulfillment will only be when you are in that leadership position in your life. You will never be completely happy until you are doing what you were born to do. Everything else is frustration. My favorite verse in the Bible. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose will what? Prevail. Let me define it for you in Hebrew. The Lord's purpose for your life will frustrate you. Prevail means it will frustrate you successfully. Whatever you were born to do is what's frustrating you right now. You're frustrated because you ain't doing what you really want to do. That's why you hate your job every Monday morning. You got to peel yourself off the bed to go to this place you hate. Why? That ain't what you really want to do. It's frustrating you. What's frustrating you? Not the job. What you want to do is frustrating you. It's the purpose. It's prevailing. It's ruling you. You know, my brother used to keep pigeons. And we used to catch the pigeons and put them in coops. Everybody say coop. And you know the coop? It's a cage. You put the pigeons in. And there came times when there were so many pigeons in the cage that they had nowhere to fly. And the pigeons began to die. I was a little kid watching my brother. And I used to cry when I used to see the pigeons in the cage. Just dying, just heaving. Beautiful birds. And there was no reason. There was food in there. There was water in there. There was shelter in there. But they were dying. Sounds like a job to me. You got food. You got water. You got a house. And you're dying. Because the pigeons were born to fly. We cooped them up. They couldn't be fulfilled until they were out of the cage. But I saw something, and I'm going to close on this. I saw something very weird. My brother had trained the pigeons to stay in that cage so long. I'm talking to Bahamians and Caribbean people now. African people, Jamaican people. I mean, the cage. They know what it does to them. And my brother would open the door of the cage. Some never left. Even though the door was open. Some left. And they flew away with joy. And then something strange would happen to some of them. They would find their way back and go back in the cage by themselves. The conditioning of the mind. Listen, I am a cage opener. I don't know who built the cage for you. I don't know who locked you up in there. I don't know how many times they put water and food in there, but I'm telling you, you don't belong in no cage. You are a leader. You were born to fulfill God's purpose for your life. You were born to make a difference in the world. You were born to fly. You could decide. Some of you are going to go back to the cage after all my hard work. And I've seen it over the years. You know, just see people just They leave BFM, come back, leave BFM, come back. They never stay long enough to get it. It takes a while, you know. But one day, it hits you. Bang, and you get it. That happened to me. When I got it, I didn't need nobody else to motivate me after that. I was like an engine that turned on, that cannot be turned off. There's hope for you. So the cage is open tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the thousands who are watching live. Thank you for those in this auditorium. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord. Father, first of all, we repent. We change our minds about what people think about us right now. Go ahead. Ask God to forgive you for accepting other people's assessment.